Hello, 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 mamas, and welcome to another episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven, brought to you by Alana Song. I am Angela Presley, your host for today. And today I have been anticipating an interview from a mama that I've known a few years. Just I met her through a grief healing group. And she's just a wonderful lady. Her spirit is so warm and loving. And I just had to get her on the show. So let's welcome today, Mamas Tina Griffin to the show. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So wonderful to have you here this Saturday morning. I'm going to start you off like I do all my moms that come on the show.
Okay.
We are moms first, so we want to hear about your Justin first before we do anything. give us something that you just think of that makes you smile, anything when he was a kid, when he was a teenager, wherever you want to start with your baby. Let us love on him.
Okay. All right. Well, my baby, Justin Alexander Griffin, he entered into this world on December 13th of 1997. And what always sticks out in my mind about Justin was his, he had a unique, I guess you would say, very strong personality. And I always joke how the way he came in the world was the way he was. When I was in labor, it was rough. And it was getting to the point where, you know, the doctors were threatening to get the suction to get him out of there. And after all of those many hours, as soon as they decided they were going to do that, he just decided he was ready. And he didn't need any assistance. And he came on out and he was here. And his whole life, he just had that personality where he kind of, you know, he was just his own person. You know, it didn't matter how you tried to, you know, tame him or reel him in. He was just his own person. And it was frustrating, you know, as you're raising your children and they're so strong-headed or bull-headed, you know, kind of go their own way. It's very frustrating. But it's like all of a sudden, overnight, it's like he went to bed one night and he woke up and he was just a mature adult.
Wow.
You know, and just behaving just differently. And hindsight is 20/20. And looking back on it, you know, we say here in our family that he was that way because he had to grow up fast. He had to get, you know, all he was going to get in those 19 years, even though we didn't know that. But it appears that's what it was. So that's what always stands out to me. He was just his own person. Yeah. It didn't matter what you tried to do. You could threaten him, punish him, whoop him. It did not matter. He was going to stand his ground on whatever it was that he wanted. And he was willing to suffer any consequences that came along with that.
Yeah. Wonderful. As we look back, you know, on our children, as you know, I like to say move to heaven. Now that they're moved to heaven, it's something how we notice, you know, what was so strong in them and what they stood for compared to when we're raising them and we're like, why don't they just get it? Why don't they just, you know, it'll be so much easier if you just, but as we look back and we reminisce on who they were, we're like, I get it now.
Yep, I get it now.
I get it now. Yeah. I believe we have a mutual young man that we know of that your son was very close to. So, and this young man is a wonderful young man, which gives me the impression that your son just had something about him to just attract people around him. He just had something in him that was a magnet. So just tell us how he was as far as his friends and his family. Alana was definitely the light in the room. Definitely the light in the room. Just shining and smiling and giggling. So I also notice about our children that has moved to heaven, that it was something in them that people just, they couldn't get enough of.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny that you even mentioned that, because yes, the young man that you're speaking of, and we know he's older than Justin. And Justin was always the youngest in his group, his set of friends and what have you, but he was always in the leadership position.
Wow.
And I used to be like, why are these, you know, why are they following you? You younger than them. But it was just his personality. As you said, he just had that leadership, not dominating, but he wasn't afraid to take charge. He wasn't afraid to, you know, just lead, you know, and kind of inspire people. And, you know, he did music and that was his thing. And it just drew. It just drew. And he had a large friend group. He really did. And yeah, it always tripped me out. And he never hung around his own age. You know, his brother is 4 years older than him. So his whole life, he was used to being around older kids, you know. And so that's what he wanted to be around. He didn't want to ever be around his own age. He didn't ever want to associate with his age group. It was always the older kids. And we always laughed when he was small and we would go to restaurants. I said, I can't ever remember him eating off the kids' menu. I could not ever remember him getting a Happy Meal. Mm-hmm. He was always wanting the older things and the bigger things.
Yeah.
And again, we look back on and it's like, that was just him. It was meant for him to be that way, because it's not that he took control. It was more that he was thrust in that position, you know, and when he was thrust into it, he took on to it, and others behind him was willing to follow him and hang along with him and do what he suggested just by something that he put out. It was some kind of energy that he put out and they responded to it.
Look at that. The leadership that was in him. And usually a great leader doesn't have to try. They just, they just follow.
They just follow. Yes. Just
follow. So that just shows me so much about him. And you saying that at a young age, he was just a great leader. A great leader.
Always.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. How was he as a brother? How was he with the siblings?
Oh, they were so tight. You know, we had two sons. Mm-hmm. You know, our older son, as I said, is 4 years older than him and Justin. And they were very tight. And I used to always tell them, because I come from a small family, mm-hmm. just me, myself, my sibling, my sister, and my parents. And then we have a small family.
Yeah.
Me, my husband, and our two boys.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of extended family, but it's one of those dynamics where, you know, we don't know, they don't know a lot of extended family, what have you. So it always used to concern me that, you know, just having one sibling, but I wasn't willing to give them another. Having that one sibling, and I used to always tell them, you know, promise me that you'll stick together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the two of you all. You're the only brother each other have. Please promise me you'll stick together. He said, oh, Mom, we got you. And they were very close. And I even realized, you know, we realized as Justin got older, you know, and more of a teenager, you know, 16, 17 or what have you, that they got even closer, because Philip said, he even wrote it in his tribute to Justin. You know, he said, when you were younger, you know, you were a little kid, I hated you tagging along. But when you got older, uh-huh. and he was more mature and was able to do more things like Philip, then they got even tighter and uh-huh. they got closer. So yeah, it was a very tight, you know, relationship between the two of them. So yeah, my two boys, that's what we always called them, the boys.
Never
had names. It was the boys.
I'm the same with Alana and her sister. It's always the girls.
Yes,
always the girls. Mm-hmm. And every time Alana's sister, whenever holidays, Mother's Day, anything that has to do with giving, uh-huh. to me, she always signs it the girls.
Oh.
From the girls.
Oh, that's sweet.
She knows how much that means to me that,
yes.
I, you know, physically I can't get anything from Alana.
Mm-hmm.
So she always signs her gifts to me. Her cards are always from the girls.
Oh, that's really, that's thoughtful.
Yeah. And I just, I love that. I love that. I love that. Yeah. So we can get into, if you'd like, if there's anything else you want to share before we get into how the day of and how your son moved to heaven. Give us a background, a scenery of how your day went that you lost your baby.
Okay, yeah, that's a day that's seared into my memory that I'll never forget. And you know, I've actually prayed and asked the Lord to help me to never forget. Because, you know, as we age, things go on with our bodies, with our minds. But, you know, I said, if anything ever happens to my mind, I want to always be able to remember Justin, remember his name, and remember what happened to him. I don't want to ever forget. But that day, it was a Tuesday, normal Tuesday, nothing different about it. Went to work. It was actually the right beginning. It was the day after school let out. I worked for Fort Wayne Community Schools. So it was the day after school let out. And we had a meeting, a training meeting that I have to go to every year. Went to that meeting. Everything went fine. Came home. No big deal. I was actually in physical therapy at the time from an injury I had. I was supposed to go to therapy that day, and I ended up not going for whatever reason. I don't even remember why I didn't go to the therapy, but we were home, and we cherished that day as a blessing because we were all home. All four of us were here, and Justin came down. It was about late in the evening, probably maybe 7 o'clock or something, and he came down. He said, I'm going to go to the gym. And he's like, oh, okay, whatever. I was in there cooking. We was just kind of, you know, standing around chit-chatting and what have you. And his dad gave him some stuff that you take before you start to work out. You know how they take that protein stuff or whatever.
Like a shake of protein.
Yes. Yeah, he told him, because Justin was eating some peanut butter or whatever. He said, try this. He gave it to him. And Justin frowned, oh, that's nasty. That's nasty. And he kind of laughed. He said, yeah, but it's going to help you know with your workout. So he drank it and he said, all right, I'm out. I'll be back. And we was like, okay. And he left. And I finished cooking. We ate. I left his food on the stove. I left his plate on the stove for him. And we went about normal because Justin, he always was out. He was one of those, you know, he's in and out all day long. He'll come home, grab something, go back out, come home, stay a couple of hours, go back out. You know, it was that kind of thing. So for him to not be home kind of late, it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
Because that's just what he did. So it didn't, you know, we'd go to bed, not worry.
Yeah.
When he comes in, we'll know. So we went to bed and my son, our older son was in his room playing his game or whatever. And we were laying in bed and falling asleep, what have you. And my husband's phone rang. This is about 10:15 or so, 10:30 or so. My husband's phone rang. And he looked at it, and you know how we do. We don't recognize the number.
Yeah.
We're not going to answer.
Especially at night. Yeah.
Yes. So he looked at it, and he didn't know the number, so he put it back down. And I laid there because I was watching TV, and he was falling asleep. And about 2 minutes later, it rang again.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing. He looked at it, put it back down. He said, I don't know who that is trying to call me. Put it back down. And then it rang the third time. Mm-hmm. And that third time, I said, oh, no.
Yeah.
I said, you need to answer that. I said, somebody is trying to contact you for some reason.
Right.
You need to answer that. When he answered, all I heard was screaming through the phone. I just heard yelling and screaming. And that just jolted me. And I just jumped out the bed and started to grab clothes to get dressed. I didn't know what it was.
That's right.
And so I just started to grab clothes. And then my husband was, you know, saying, I can't understand you. What are you saying? What are you saying? Turns out it was Justin's best friend. Very, very best friend. They were like brothers.
Yeah.
Always together. And he called and he was screaming and yelling so loud that my son heard it across the hall. And he jumped into action as well, not knowing what the case was. So we, while we're trying to get him to calm down and explain to us, we're just running around, throwing our clothes on. We were going to the car. You know, he was just kind of saying, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, or whatever. Yes. And finally, my husband said, give the phone to somebody. Give the phone to somebody that can talk to us.
Yes.
So he ended up giving the phone to the police. Mm. And the officer told us we needed to come, that something happened, and we needed to come, you know, to the scene where they were, whatever. And he told us where to come. And I thought, when I heard the police officer, I know now it was just my mind.
Uh-huh.
I thought I heard Justin in the background. I thought I heard his voice.
Yes.
So I was like, something happened, but it's not that bad because I just heard him. I heard Justin.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hear his voice.
Yeah.
That was just my mind. So when we got there, all we saw was police, you know, fire truck, police station, everything. It was out west on Jefferson going towards, you know, west.
Yeah.
But we had went the back way because we had already started driving before he told us where to come. We just started driving. So we came the back way. And when we got to Freeman, the police wasn't letting us through because he didn't know, you know.
Right.
And Mitchell was upset. I got to get through. I got to get through. That's my son. That's my son. The police was like, I understand, son. Calm, you know, sir, calm down.
Uh-huh.
And we finally got Mitchell to calm down and he let us through. And when we drove through, it was just chaos.
Yeah.
Car, you know, policing everywhere. And when we went to drive the park in the parking lot across from the accident scene.
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I saw the car wreckage. You know, I got a glimpse of it because he passed away in a single car crash.
Mm.
It was just his car. And I got a glimpse of it, but I'm still in denial.
Right.
I'm still not knowing exactly what happened. So I'm still not thinking, you know, anything of that sort.
Right.
But so my husband parked and I was scared to get out the car. I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I was scared to get out the car. So I just kind of sat there and I watched him. I said, well, whatever his reaction is will dictate my reaction. And he was going across. He tried to run across the street. And when he got midway, the police stopped him and he was, you know, kind of yelling and screaming. And they wouldn't let him go across. And all I saw was my husband collapse.
Mm.
He just fell to the ground. And when he fell to the ground, that's when I lost it.
Yeah.
Because I knew something horrible had happened. But yeah, they didn't want him to go because they was telling them, you don't want to see that.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to see that. And so what it ended up happening was he left the gym. His best friend, the one that called us, they didn't go to the gym together, but they ended up at the gym together. It was Planet Fitness. We said the gym, but it's Planet Fitness.
Right.
And so when they left, they was trailing another.
Trailing each other.
Yeah, they were trailing one another. And Justin, I guess, was behind him. And when they hit that curb, mm-hmm. you know, if you've ever been out west, everybody knows that curb. You got to be careful. I guess he was speeding, you know, coming too fast. And he came around that curb and the car lost control. And that's what happened. It spiraled or whatever. And they said that on impact, he didn't suffer. It was on impact that he left.
Mm-hmm.
But that night, it just, you know, it kind of became a blur. I remember a few things. Like I remember the chaplain. He was so kind. The chaplain was so kind. He came over and, you know, was consoling. And I asked him, was he a police officer? And he said, no, I'm the chaplain. And mm-hmm. he asked to pray with us and we allowed him to pray for us. And he was so, everybody was kind that night. You know, the police officers and, you know, everybody involved was mm-hmm. kind that night. That's all I remember is everybody being really kind. And then, so at the point where they was going to have the coroner come, you know, to do whatever they do and identify and take the body and all this stuff, they told us to go home. They was, you know, like, nothing else you can do here, you know, go home. And our pastor had come at that point. And so he drove us home in our car and another police officer followed so he can take him back to get his car. And I remember when I got out the car and I was walking up to the house, This police officer, he walked over to me and just gave me a big old hug. He just gave me a really big hug. He didn't say anything. He just hugged me. And I just walked into the house. And yeah, then we just, you know, our pastor had prayer with us. And it was just a fog. You know, it was a fog. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe, and I still can't.
Right.
I still can't to this day believe that it happened. But yeah, that was June 6th of 2017.
2017.
Yeah. So it's been 6 years since he, and I'm the same as you. I said, since he went to live in heaven.
Yes.
It's been 6 years. So yeah, it was the worst day, but it still was a day that, as I said, I don't want to forget because, you know, he came into the world, you know, by me, and he left the world, and I wasn't there at that moment, but I was able to go, you know, and be a part of seeing what happened. And I don't hate it. I mean, I have trauma.
Yeah.
Still have trauma. Police, the lights traumatized me. I have not been back over there. I cannot go. Even the thought of going over there gives me anxiety. So I still have to work through some of that. But as far as living day to day, it's much better. You know, I'm way further today than I was on June 7th, 2017.
Yes, I definitely get it. I definitely get what you're saying. I want to ask a couple of questions. I want to dissect this just a little bit.
Okay.
I always ask moms because I feel like we see it or we feel it, but we kind of brush it off. We blow it off. We was there anything before Justin left you? A dream, a nudge, anything that as you look back, you felt like, this was for me. This was for like a spiritual thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like God was, you know, telling me this, you know, get prepared. Or mine always come in dreams. Mine always come in dreams. And as I look back after Alana, and I write down my dreams also.
Okay.
As I look back before Alana moved to heaven, I'm like, you know, and just brushing it off and just, you know. So was there anything that you felt like, you know what, this nudge or I knew something about this or that? Did you come across anything spiritual beforehand and you felt like I just brushed it off? Is there something that he said to you before and you're like, he doesn't usually say that, or he doesn't usually, you know, like kiss me goodbye or hug me as long, or you know, as you look back?
No, honestly, I can't say that anything like that occurred. Everything leading up to that very day was to the norm. You know, the only thing that I can probably say is what I alluded to before was how we had to stay on him so much all the time.
Yeah.
But then it just seemed like out of the blue, just like one day, he like turned around.
Yeah.
And he just was so mature all of a sudden out of nowhere. It's like he just, you know, decided, okay, I'm going to grow up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably the only thing that I would say is like, and I would say maybe that occurred maybe like a year's worth, you know, before he left, maybe a year. So, yeah, right. That's probably the only thing I could say that he just all of a sudden just changed the way like he behaved. Yeah.
Like he was prepared.
Yes. Prepared. Like being adult-like, being more adult-like. And that was kind of that's kind of like, oh, he's finally, you know, growing up, he's finally acting right. But other than that, no, like, everything else was pretty, just normal.
Like he knew, like his spirit knew.
Yeah, like he knew he needed to just, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I need to get it together. I need to act right, or I need to get my stuff in order. Something to that nature.
Good. Now, you did mention a fog. So we definitely know what that is and what's that like. Tell us about your area of that fog. How did you maneuver? I totally checked out. I totally checked out. If it was not for my mom and my sister, Alana's dad, you know, Alana's brother, everyone around me, I checked out.
Yes.
And I checked out for like 3 months. So let us know how that fog period was. How did you maneuver your strength to even, you know, get up? Because, you know, we want moms out here to hear and to know that this is natural, this is normal, and you're going to have this time frame where it's just you're gone.
Yeah. It was very difficult. I know the first couple of days, like about 2 days afterwards, because we were just kind of getting up, you know, and kind of just being around, hanging around. And then like the second day I woke up, and when the thought came to me, the realization came to me, I'm still in this world and this actually really happened. I didn't want to face it that day. I was like, nah. So I just kind of covered my head back up and kind of went back under the covers and slept as long as I just possibly could sleep, because I just didn't want to deal with it that day. But as the time went on, it fell into a time span where I was scheduled for surgery the next month. And so it all timed out where I was off work for my bereavement. So I had that time period off. And then I had to go back for like a day or two. And then I was off for the time period of my surgery. So it kind of helped a little bit, because when I had to go back those couple of days, I knew I was not ready.
Yes.
To get 5 days off for bereavement. what are you going to do in five days?
What are you going to do?
Yeah. So you get those 5 days off. And then I had vacation time as well. So I exhausted all of that to combine it, just to stretch it out as long as I could.
Right.
And when I went back for the couple of days, I was not ready. And thank God it was summer break. So it was a skeleton crew, not many people there. So I didn't have to run into too many people, but I just couldn't hold it together. I was running into the bathroom all day long, breaking down. And I was like, I am not ready. I cannot be here. But it was only a few days. And then I was off again for my surgery. So that's 6 weeks that I'm home by myself, thinking, you know, kind of in a state of depression, things going on. And I share this because I'm not ashamed, but, you know, to help people.
Yeah.
And my surgery was pretty major. So I was on opioids. And I remember I was lying in bed, you know, just kind of out of it, just thinking. And something in my mind told me to look at the pills. It was almost a full bottle. And I said, no, if I take all of those, I can leave here and I can go see Justin.
Be with my baby.
Yes.
Yes.
I had never had a suicidal thought in my life, but just the pain of my child. And that's what led me to that thought. But praise God, as quickly as it came, it was replaced. And, you know, the Lord told me, you got a husband, you know, you got another son. Do you want to hurt them? You want them to go through some more pain? And that snapped me right out of it. But that just, you know, it just goes to show, you never know where your mind can take you based on the trauma that you experience. And that was, you know, I've lost. Both my parents had gone on to glory prior to my son. My mom had just passed 6 months prior, you know, before Justin. And my sister, All my family. I'm the only living left, but it's just different. My parents both 4 years apart, but they both passed at the age of 92. Yes, I was sad. They were my parents. I loved them, but they were 92.
92.
I could accept that. I could accept that they lived a long, blessed life. And my sister, she was much older than me, 20 years older than me. So even though she was young when she passed, she was still older. But now you have my 19-year-old healthy child to leave. That's a whole different dynamic. And my husband and I, we always talked about, if you could have given me a survey with 1,000 things or 1,000,000 things on them, which one of these do you expect will ever happen in your lifetime? Losing a child in death, I would not have marked it. I would have never thought
No.
that that would happen. Never. Why would I think that? For what?
Yeah.
Even with knowing that anything can happen at any moment, you don't have to be sick. You don't, anything can happen at any time, but you just never think about that.
Yeah.
It never crosses your mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that it took me, every night crying myself to sleep. But one night I had a dream, and in the dream, Justin was in the dream, and all I remember was it was like we were, I'm not gonna say heaven, but the place looked like a foggy kind of place, like a cloudy place. And I remember I was standing at a doorway, and the door was open. And I was standing there looking in the door, and Justin came and was like standing on the other side, leaning on the doorpost. And he looked down at me. He was taller than me. He looked down at me and he said, "What's up, Mom?" He's like, "I'm okay." And he reached down and he hugged me. And the hug was so real that I felt it literally in my body. And I woke up boo-hooing. I was crying so hard because I felt it. I literally felt it in my body. And I just couldn't handle it. And I asked God, I said, "Please don't ever let me have a dream like that anymore. Don't let me experience that anymore." I said, "I can't handle those, type of emotions." And I have not to this day had another dream like that. And and so it was the spiritual journey, that helped me throughout that time, because it was time, I go to work. Even when I went back, it had been like what, about 2 months, but I still wasn't ready. But I would push through, I would muster it up, hoping and praying that nobody wanted to, "Oh, I'm sorry," or "How you doing?" Hoping I didn't get that day. But the minute I left out my job and got in my car, it takes me 6 minutes to drive from work to my house. That's how far I have to drive. Every day I cry. As soon as I got in my car, I just released what I was holding all day long and the whole time driving home. So 6 minutes every day, I just let it out, let it out, let it out, until I got to the point where I didn't have to do that anymore. So, but the most, I tell you, the most, I think the most important thing that consoled me and to help me to get more of a grip, I was in the shower. I was talking to the Lord, letting them know, "I just don't understand why you did this, why you allowed this to happen to me," just pouring out my heart, being honest with God. And he spoke to me and he said, "I understand what you're going through." He said, You lost your son, but I also had a son who died." And when he said that, that lifted such a burden off of me, because I was like, wow,
He gets it.
I have another son that I can love on, that's here with me. His one and only son died. He had to separate himself from him and allow him to die. And he did that willingly. I didn't do it willingly.
That's
If I
right.
had a choice, I would have said, "Nope,
At
you
all.
can't have him."
At all.
Yes. So that's what helped me. That's what helped me. And I can't speak for anybody else. I can only speak for my own journey. And I tell anybody, if it wasn't for the Lord, I would not be here.
Yes,
I
amen.
could not have done it. I could not have made it another step if God had not sustained me and held me up, even when I was down and not really leaning on him, you know, was soaking within myself.
Yeah.
It was he who kept me because he knew that I was going to come out of it.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to bring me out. I just had to hold on and, you know, trust in him and keep my faith in him. So that's the only place I can give credit. It was nothing that I did. You know, like I said, if it was me, I would have took those pills. I wouldn't have thought twice. I would have taken them and went to be with Justin. But it was because the Lord had something else planned.
Yes.
And he might have wanted me to be on here today, you
Yeah.
know, to encourage another mom who's
Yeah.
hurting the way I was hurting. Trust me, I believe, I understand. But it can get better. It really can. And people don't want to hear that. When it first happens, you don't want to hear, oh, they're in a better place. Oh, you know, it'll get better. You don't want to hear those kind of things, you
No.
know, at that time. But as time go on, you realize that it's true.
Yes.
They are in a better place and it will get better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just want to backtrack and hit on this again. I too, just sitting alone all that time, your heart, your soul, every part of your being just wants to be with your baby.
Yes.
That's it. That's it. So I too had that thought. I had that, how can I get out of here to see Alana? How can I, you know, you're the mom. Your baby needs to be with you. She's never been without me.
Yes.
You know, so again, had it not been for my other children, I would have checked right on out of here.
Yep.
To be with Alana. And again, as time goes on and the Lord begins to speak to you, as
yes.
time goes on and he shows you things. And what helped me, one of the things that he said to me, what helped me is, had it been reversed and you got to see be in the presence of the Lord, had you got to see my face, would you have said, I need to get, you know, but he trumps, and that's the bottom line.
Yes.
He trumps. When you see him or when you're in his presence, nothing else matters.
Yep.
Nothing else matters. There was a time I was upset with him and Alana. How could you leave your mama? I'm your mama. How could you leave your mama? He trumps.
Yes.
Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
He trumps. And I do a lot of studying of, they're called NDEs, near-death experiences, where
okay.
people have been in the presence of God, but they've been resuscitated and come back. Every last one did not want to come back.
I can believe that.
Every last one. So yeah, there's going to be things that help us along the way.
Yes.
But you have to be open to hear. You have to be open to hear because there's anger. There's anger. I don't want to hear nothing from nobody.
Right.
Don't quote me another scripture.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So definitely, definitely. But time, you'll get better.
Yes.
You'll get better. I tell everyone it's like learning to, like an amputee. You learn how to walk without that foot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You learn how to maneuver with that one arm. You know, that piece is missing. And you love that piece and you miss that piece. But you're going to learn how to maneuver without it.
Yes. This
you're
is
gonna
true.
Learn how to maneuver without
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing that really gives me comfort and hope is the fact that I know, I believe it wholeheartedly,
yes.
that he is with the Lord.
Oh yeah.
That's where, if I didn't have that hope or that belief, what would be the purpose? You know, And it's like, you know, how in David, when his baby died, you know, he said, the baby can't come back to me, but I can go to him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, if I want to ever see Justin again,
yeah,
I have got to keep my relationship, continue to grow, you know,
yeah,
what I need to do, because Justin's a cheat. In 19 years, he achieved his reward from the Lord in 19 short years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, if I want to achieve my same reward, I've got to do what Justin did. Keep the faith, be true.
Yeah.
And that's how I'll see him again. And yeah, that gives me great comfort. Great comfort.
Oh, yeah. I am with you there. So before we go, there's a couple of other things before we wrap the interview up.
Okay.
What are you doing now in honor of Justin? What are the things that you do, your husband does? You know, what's going on in honor of your son?
Oh, okay. Well, first and foremost, we never forget him.
Oh, yeah.
We don't act like he didn't exist. He was an intricate part of our family. He was the baby of the family. So we keep his memory alive, first of all, between each other.
Uh-huh.
We talk about him, you know, we laugh at memories of him. You see behind me,
yeah,
you know, we got pictures and things all around. So first, that's first of all, we don't let his memory die inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we share with other people. We talk about him. But the biggest thing, and I'm so excited you asked, is today, this morning at noon, we'll be out at MVP Lanes for our first fundraiser for our nonprofit that has been established in Justin's memory. It is called Jewel Inc. Yes, we are so excited. And our mission statement is to benefit families in need. Justin was caring and he was loving. And if he saw you needed something, he would help you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we decided that we are going to make it our mission that no family goes in need.
Yeah.
If you need a bar of soap, we'll give you soap. If you need groceries, we'll give you groceries.
Yeah.
So that is our mission. So today's our first big fundraiser. We're having a bowl-a-thon. And so, you know, I know this won't air before 12 o'clock, but
yeah.
Hopefully somebody that may see this, they were there.
Yeah.
And supported us. But we have, like I said, it's Jewel Inc. Incorporated.
Uh-huh.
And right now we're on social media. Hopefully it'll get a website pretty soon. But we are on Facebook and it's spelled J-U-A-L.
Okay.
That stands for Justin Alexander. So J-U-A-L Inc. I-N-C. So if you go on Facebook or Instagram, you can look up our page and we're going to start posting things. And we're actually going to be putting up our application for Christmas families to be adopted. So yeah, we're looking for great things, but that I'm so proud that we were able to do that in his honor and in his memory. It'd be our family legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Wonderful.
He'll never die. He'll never die.
I know he is proud. He is proud of his parents. His mama.
I hope so.
He is proud. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So the last question that I asked my moms, I know you got to get prepared for this big day. So we're going to wrap up.
Okay.
So all my moms get this last question before we go.
All right.
Tina, what are your hopes of heaven?
Oh, my hope of heaven is what the Lord has told me that it is.
Yeah.
Streets of gold, you know, praising him all day.
Yeah.
Seeing our loved ones that we know left here with the hope of heaven, with faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
Looking forward to just eternity of perfectness in the presence of the Lord. You know, I enjoy this life. I enjoy living, having family, husband, children, friends, relationships, and all that good stuff. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But to think about just being in a perfect, nothing ever to be wrong again, and to be able to just always give praise to the person that made that happen. You know, Jesus Christ himself, it's like, oh my God, just even think about ever seeing him. It's mind blowing. You know, we didn't have the opportunities like the Old Testament, I mean, the New Testament saints with the apostles and all of those that were around to actually see him in the flesh. But we'll get to see him for all eternity, never, ever, ever to be separated again. And that just gives me chills. It gives me chills when I think about it because it's not, he didn't have to do it. You know, when we turned our backs on him, he could have been like, oh, well, y'all messed up. That's it. But he said, no, I'm going to redeem you and still give you that opportunity to be with me forever. So that's my hope. Exactly what the Bible says about it. I believe it and I look forward to it.
Yes, I love it. I love, love, love your hopes of heaven. All right, Miss Tina, we're gonna wrap up. It's just such an
Yes.
honor to have you on to tell your story, to help us heal along the way. You're speaking to moms all across the globe, so I'm sure, even if you've only touched one, it was worth this having you on the show for this time. There's moms who have lost sons and daughters in accidents all
Yes.
across the globe.
Yes.
And your story has helped them understand and get through.
Thank
So,
you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to do that, to share.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right, you as well.